This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:06. You're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday talk show. Tobin Ott alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you doing today?
Well, a little drizzly.
Yeah, it is. But I'll take this compared to snow or ice.
Yes, yes. I agree with you there 100%. And I don't know how much precip we're supposed to get, but, you know, contrary to what some people may think, we need rain.
We do.
Our subsoil moisture is not good.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. And I think Mother Nature had her way with us last year because we got smacked pretty good last year. Maybe this is a year off. Of course, our guest today knows really well about the winter weather and primaries. We have Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder Sandy Lighthizer as our guest this week. We're going to talk primaries. It's right around the corner. We'll have that conversation right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday talk show. Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder Sandy Lighthizer is our guest, and we're talking primaries. It's hard to believe, Sandy. It's right around the corner.
It is, Tobin, and thank you for having me this morning, and good morning to you, and good morning to Uncle Ralph, and just thankful to be with you both.
Yes, and we're thankful to be here, and
yes.
As we were talking off the air a little bit, it's kind of a nasty day, but contrary to what may be some people's thoughts, we do need the moisture.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're right, and, we do. And Tobin, you in recalling of an election that was a tough weather event, certainly it's fresh in my mind, March of 2006. That is the first election we used our new voting system. We still call it new, even though, of course, 06 is quite some time ago. But we had a very challenging weather event occur, a lot of snow, a lot of ice, and yet those polls were open. Those judges made it. A few of them were in a ditch for a while, but voters came out, and we got through the day and up until midnight. And then I left the courthouse and happened to break my knee that night. But every time it kind of aches and weather changes, I'm getting old, guys. That does promote it aching a bit. I recall that first election when we had that tough snowstorm.
And that's got to you mentioned the new voting tabulator thing. It's amazing now how much elections have changed now. It's no longer the where you stick a pin in and you have the chads or whatever you want to call them. It's all electronically done.
Right, right. It is. Although the beauty of it, and the voters love this part especially, guys, is that it's got a paper ballot still. Mm-hmm. So we have that tradition that's moved forward. We have a darkened oval that we cast manually with a marking device on a paper ballot. So then that is fed into a tabulator, which then brings the electronic technology that we have available to us these days in to help it, you know, the results be known quickly and it being an efficient system. But if, you know, we ever have a challenge, and we've had a few in Montgomery County.
I think the past three elections we've had a challenge.
Right, right. But if it happens, we've got those paper ballots to lean on, and those counts hold true.
What were the challenges? It was one was county born. No,
right.
That was a coin flip.
Yes, that was a tie.
That was a coin flip.
That was a tie, yeah.
The mayoral race in Litchfield, that was decided by one vote. The aldermanic race
Ward 3,
in Litchfield
right?
was a one vote. And
those are the ones I recall, the three.
And maybe I'm adding the coin flip
right.
into that mix. But truth in hindsight is, whatever that the receipt said at the end of the day, it came out exactly what it said.
There was
no differential at all.
Right, right. And two of those three cases, those manual ballots, those ballot boxes were unsealed. Each ballot was hand tallied and compared to that tabulator, and it was the same. So we feel we've got a really trusted, valued system.
Yeah, and it's worked out so far.
Yes, it has.
And I think as you said, Sandy, we have a very good system, but I think kudos go all the way down to the local precincts and the judges who work those precincts. Everybody takes his job seriously, that it is election time, and those votes are going to affect the future of the candidates, whether they get into office or they don't get into office. And as you mentioned, 2006, we started a new system, and any time, not only in voting, but any time you invoke a new system into a program, there's questions and there's doubts by the people of why do we do this and is this going to work, and it's always a challenge. But as far as you're concerned, 2006, everything went smooth and has been fairly smooth ever since.
Right, right. You know, of course, no system is 100% perfect.
No, no.
And we're constantly striving for, you know, that full 100% level. But you're right, Ralph. The kudos really go to the election judges, the workers there at the polls. And I would also include my staff in that at my office. I'm very blessed to have just wonderful individuals to work with. They make the difference, they really do, to make sure the voters understand the process, they're comfortable with voting, and, you know, we just owe them our success.
And I guess a good way to perhaps describe the local precincts and the judges who are there. I know my wife served in one in Butler Grove for several years, and I think they kind of look upon it as a day to go and visit and kind of invoke a party-like atmosphere into the precinct where
yes.
people come to vote.
Yes, we encourage
and
that.
And you know? See people that maybe you won't see till next election.
That's true. You do get a chance to see a lot of your friends and neighbors. But, you know, the general public really doesn't realize what tasks they have and what responsibilities they have as election judges. And my staff, again, I would add them to that category. In fact, if anyone out there would like to be an election judge, I'd encourage them to contact our office. We've got a few spots open for the March 20th primary coming up. We have a training before each election, and they earn $20 more, which isn't a whole lot of money, but if they go to training. And the election judge pay is $115 without training, $135 for the day with training. But it's a long day. I mean, they get there about 5 a.m., don't leave the poll until everything balances, everything's tallied, and then two judges return to the courthouse, one of each party, Democrat, Republican, with the ballots and the other materials. So it is a long day. They have a lot of responsibilities. And we're always looking for folks that are interested in serving in that way.
Is it hard to find election judges?
There are times it is in certain parts of the county. Again, because of the long day, a lot of folks are working. They're not able to get off work to serve, throughout, that process. And I will say we've got a bit of apathy out there, you know, from the general public, that maybe they just don't want to be associated with one party or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that can contribute to it as well. But we want to just encourage anyone. I mean, be a part of the democratic process. You'll
mm-hmm.
learn a lot as a result. You'll be a more informed voter yourself, just knowing, and learning and participating.
And I remember Terry mentioning this to you during the last election. If you don't go out and vote and partake in the democratic way, then anything that happens, whether it's on the city level, county level, state level, federal government, you have no excuse to complain.
That's right. I would agree with that. I mean, we just need to participate, in the process. And as a county clerk, we are, as election authority, we are committed to, we must provide all the election services, and whether anybody shows up or not, So there's times we feel like, hey, we're holding a party and nobody's out there, But we hope and just plan for folks to participate at this upcoming election. In fact, I kind of ran some stats from the last two elections of this type. Again, we've got a general primary election on Tuesday, March 20th, and the last two primaries that we had in February of 2010, 29.56% turnout, and February of 2008, 33.12% turnout. So, we've got a decent turnout at those elections, but it could always be better.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the 20th primary. I know there's a, let's see, a referendum, just one, isn't it? That's Hillsborough.
Well, actually, throughout the county, we've got four.
Four referendums.
Four
okay,
referendum.
Let's go.
Right.
Go with on what's going to be on the ballot right now.
Sure. Okay. As far as referenda, it is the city of Hillsborough. We have a sales tax increase question. The city of Coffeen has a property tax maximum rate increase question for their police protection. The village of Farmersville also has a sales tax increase question, and a little part of our county falls into the Auburn School District. Mm-hmm. They have a property tax question on the ballot for those individuals.
Okay, and then those questions on the ballot, when you go, it gets divided up to so that way Hillsborough residents will have the opportunity to vote on the sales tax referendum, but not the city of Litchfield. It's all...
Of course, right. Yeah, everyone has their own customized ballot. And to check to be sure you will get the correct ballot, an easy way to do so is to maybe look at your voter ID card.
Mm-hmm.
I would put that out to everyone and confirm that those districts are represented on your ID card. If they are, then your ballot will be as well.
And
if they're not, of course, call us, and we want to make sure everything's correct there.
Absolutely, and I believe what all county board seats are up on the 20th as well.
That's correct. All 21 county board seats. You know, and on the public question topic, guys, mm-hmm. just to make sure people are aware, we've got a primary election coming up, and that means you declare your party. In mm-hmm. order to get a ballot, you have to be a declared Democrat or Republican, the two established parties that we have in the state of Illinois now. You might recall we had the Green Party as an established party at the last primary. They are no longer. They didn't meet the threshold the State Board of Elections set with signatures, I think, for their governor candidate to be an established party. So our two established parties, Democrat, Republican. But for those voters who do not want to declare a party affiliation, they can remain undeclared and yet they want to vote on a public question that they're eligible to vote on. We have nonpartisan ballots available at the poll, so they could just ask for a nonpartisan ballot. Of course, the only question that'll be on there will be that public question, but they can vote, you know, either for or against those public questions.
Sandy, let's back up to the four referendums you were speaking about. Excuse me. When people go to the polls in Hillsborough or the various areas and they vote for this, is the outcome of this declared by a simple majority, or how is the...
It is simple majority, yes.
Yeah.
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 Right, simple majority.
It's not a two-thirds
or
anything like that.
It is
if you
not.
Get one more vote, then... Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's how these questions will work. And there could be, you know, other types of public questions where that wouldn't be the case. But on this ballot, at this election, this will be just a simple majority vote.
And I believe in my 6 years doing news, if I'm not mistaken, only one referendum, and I'm not forecasting anything here, one referendum has passed on a sales tax increase.
Hmm.
And that was back in Litchfield.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
I would have to comb through my election results to confirm that
Yeah.
Well, when you talk about taxes, immediately the no flag goes up in most people's
Absolutely.
Minds. You know?
Right.
Absolutely.
And even down to the wording of the questions, this is all based on statute.
Mm-hmm.
The wording on the ballot comes directly from a resolution or an ordinance that's been provided to us by those local governments, and we must list that question as it is provided both by statute to them and, you know, by their ordinance to us. So in some cases, voters are going to need to read that question thoroughly to be sure, you know, they understand it.
So if a voter votes independent, does not want to declare Democrat or Republican, they only get to vote on the referendum. They do not get to vote on the county board races or anything like that.
Right. That is the case because of Illinois' closed primary system.
And
that's
got to scare away some people, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. But, you know, our assurance, I mean, of course, we're working within the parameters of Illinois law,
right,
as we must. But we want to let them know. I mean, they certainly can vote on those public questions without, having to declare their party.
Let's switch gears and talk a little bit about something that's very important to the working class of people, and that is the opportunity to vote absentee.
Yes, definitely, definitely. In fact, I might just do a quick rundown of what candidates are represented on the ballot. Of course, President of the United States, okay? There's a biggie. U.S. Representative.
He's kind of a big deal, the President of the United States.
Right. That office is pretty important, isn't it?
Kind of a big deal.
Right, right. And, in fact, you know, this general election coming up, usually the general elections where the president's on the ballot, there is our highest voter turnout, and we would expect that to be the same this time.
Mm-hmm.
So President of the United States, representative in the U.S. Congress, 13th Congressional Districts, and, of course, then that will
And that changed into, this year. We have a new... We have a new congressman
new
that we'll
district.
Be voting for.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And redistricting occurred because of the census, so now redistricting means new district names and numbers of the districts.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have delegates and to their respective conventions at the presidential level. And for Republicans only, they alternate delegates will be on the ballot for their convention. Illinois State Senator, we are now in the 48th legislative district. The Illinois representative, the state representative, and the 95th representative district. We also have regional superintendent of schools vacancies that's come up. So those offices will be on our ballot.
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual because they traditionally run at the election cycle that was 2 years ago.
And that's a position that's been kind of not controversial, but it's been kind of up in the air, and there's been a lot of attention to that position because of the pay scale and what's there and what's not. And you got Marshall in there now. And
yes, right. And she, in fact, she spoke very eloquently at our county board meeting yesterday morning at Marshall Kassebaum, our mm-hmm. regional office of education superintendent for the Christian Montgomery ROE. And she is a candidate on the ballot coming up because that is a vacancy that she has been appointed to,
mm-hmm.
but yet she must run for a 2-year unexpired term within that regional office of education. And then Bond Effingham Fayette, their superintendent of schools, that region also has had a vacancy. So that office will also be on the ballot. And then at the county level, we have circuit clerk, state's attorney, coroner, county board members, and Tobin, as you said, all 21 members in all 7 districts are up this time, again, due to redistricting,
mm-hmm.
Which was done in a minor way at the county board district level. That's how their cycle runs. Every 10 years, all 21 members up.
How many of those are contested?
That I'm not really sure of
okay.
off the top of my
but
head.
There's a few that are contested, are
right.
uncontested. Okay.
A few that are contested. Right. In fact, we're compiling our publication ballot right now, so look for that insert to come out in the local newspaper soon. Then we go to a vacancy of a judgeship in the 5th Judicial District.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have precinct committee representatives that are to be elected for both the Democrat and Republican parties. Those individuals are on the ballot every 2 years as well. So that is pretty much a rundown of those offices on this ballot.
So a lot of decisions to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So
There are.
And as Uncle Ralph was alluding to, absentee voting, they can go if they are going to be out of the state on the 20th or whatever reason, they can vote right now.
Right. They certainly can. We are up and running and it's no excuse absentee voting that is in place now in Illinois, which means just come because it's convenient, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that'll be operational through Monday, March 19th, the day before the election. And within that, there will be some Saturdays that our office will be open to make it convenient as well. Of course, our regular hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, but we will include Saturday, March 3rd, Saturday, March 10th, and Saturday, March 17th to be open for absentee and early voting from 8 a.m. to noon.
And, of course, voter registration, that's already completed with, right?
Well,
or can they still have an opportunity to register if they just moved into the town or whatever? They could still register to vote in Montgomery County.
Yes, they can. That deadline is Tuesday, February 21st, 2012.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's fast approaching.
Right, it is. It is. Now, Illinois law has one little provision that maybe if say somebody misses that February 21st deadline, which we highly encourage that they not, just for the you know, the simplicity of making sure that they have their voter ID card and there's no question. All of our information to do any of these services is on our county website, www.montgomeryco.com. Mm-hmm. But I do want to mention grace period registration, and that is operational from the 22nd up through the 7th day before the election. Basically, what that is, someone's forgot to change their address or they forgot to register to vote. The election's fast approaching. Right. Approaching. They want to vote. They can. They must come into our office in person. And of course, if you don't know it, folks, we're at the first floor of the old historic courthouse.
Mind the renovations. Mind the construction.
Right. We're operational though. It's all good. And we've got the ramp out in the front, which is temporary, by the way. But a ramp that serves those that need it on the south entrance of the building. But they just come, you know, to our office and they can register to vote or change their address at that time. The kicker is they must vote right then and there also.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
So, you know, we are able to allow them to register to vote or change their registration, but they then, under Illinois law, must vote at that same visit.
Kind of a quick decision.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've heard a lot of people say, Sandy, that they really like that ramp and wish they'd leave it there.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have, you know, people that have a little problem with motivation, getting
sure.
up and down steps
well,
and stuff.
Well,
said, you know, it's really worked well for them.
Okay. Well, we might pass that along to the county board.
Terry, if you're listening, the ramp must stay.
Right.
And I tell you what, a lot of renovation work is ongoing at the historic courthouse, and it's going to look really, really nice once it's all said and done, which will hopefully be end of April.
That's what we hear. Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's proceeding quickly, and I'll have to say, I mean, the contractors have been very accommodating to work with, and we're all working together. And the office that's been displaced mainly has been the supervisor of assessments, and you know, folks just, you know, we've got signs out, but if until the end of April, if anybody needs their services, go to the Farm Bureau building.
Right.
It's where they're temporarily housed.
And, you know, we speak of the courthouse, and we hear a lot of pros and cons about why are we spending money on this building. But you look at the Hillsborough Courthouse as you come into Hillsborough, especially of a night on Route 16, you look up there, and I always compare that to when I go to Carlinville, the old courthouse over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might be white elephants, but they're landmarks. So
absolutely.
You have to maintain them.
Right.
You just have to maintain them.
And I will say, after this renovation, that every inch of that building is going to be fully utilized with office space. I mean, with active office space that's needed and used. So it's not going to be there just sitting, you know, pretty to look at. I mean, we are going to be housed in there and ready to provide service there.
I always thought the historic courthouse is kind of like, because, you know, my family, we go down to the Disney all the time. That's kind of like a mini Cinderella's castle.
Well,
you've got Main Street USA, and then right in the middle is,
well,
boom.
There's been, and I need to research this, Tobin, but maybe you can for me. There's been word that that courthouse or the Cinderella's castle, there's been a modeling done from our courthouse's architecture.
Really?
They actually, you know, use that as a means to, to build there.
There's a lot of similarities.
I love it.
I mean, I go down to Disney every year, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of similarities. If you go into the Magic Kingdom and you look at that movie theater, and like, okay, that's the Orpheum.
Oh.
I'm like, you know.
All right.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And just one quick comment. I know we're out of time, but I compare the old courthouse in Hillsborough to you and I, Tobin. We're not just a pair of pretty faces.
Absolutely.
Oh.
That's why we're in radio. And we are coming close to the end of the program. Sandy, it's always a pleasure, my friend,
same
having
here.
You here.
Thank you.
And as we come to a close, we've got about 60 seconds here. Tell us a little again. Absentee voting is ongoing now. When can they do that? And all the good stuff. Give us the primary dates. Here we go.
Right. Yes, we are underway with absentee voting. And also, remember that deadline to register to vote. We're going to be open Saturday, February 18th for voter registration services from 9 to noon. Absentee voting, just come on in. We would ask that you have photo ID with you so we can double check that to your voter registration. But we just encourage everyone to, you know, exercise your democratic rights. right that we've got soldiers around the world fighting for, you know, in a general sense, at this very moment. So we want you to vote. We're here to serve. If you have any questions, give us a call.
And, of course, the March 20th general primary is going to be fast approaching. It'll be here before you know it. And that's going to do it for today's Wednesday talk show. Sandy Lighthizer was our guest. And Uncle Ralph, next week, Don Lutz from the Montgomery County Recycling Program will be here. I think the Litchfield situation will probably be brought up, and she's got a new office to deal with, too, over in Hillsborough. So we'll talk about the recycling program next week. On the flip side, as I get my tongue tied here, the man, the myth, the legend, Earl Sarles with the Market Report is coming your way next.